The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Never miss a show. Take us with you 24 hours a day. Go to SundayMorningNewsmakers.com. Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino.
Voters in Pasadena won't go to the polls till March of next year to select the next mayor for the city. But sitting in studio with me today is one of the declared candidates, Major Williams, who'd like to be the city's next mayor. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. It's very exciting times.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, because this is a chance for you to introduce yourself to our audience. And
for sure.
People want to learn, you know, first off, why run? People's lives are so busy, they think somebody else is going to do this.
Right.
You've made the decision to step up. A little bit about yourself.
Sure. A little bit about myself. I'm originally from Dallas, Texas. Been in California for over 20 years. Been a resident in Pasadena for over 8 years. And my background extends to marketing business and entrepreneurship. And I use the analogy also when people ask me, why am I running for mayor, this tough, difficult job? It's mainly because, you know, when you're in the stands at a game, right, and I kind of looked at it from this analogy standpoint, I was just like everybody else in the stands. I was yelling. I was complaining. I was frustrated with the decisions of the coaches, the refs, even the players on the bench. And I just came to a point when I started working in politics through my marketing company that I wanted to take myself outside of the stands and being a person that shouted and saying this is what they should do and this is what they should do versus getting on the field and suiting up and going into that political arena as a player that can actually affect some of the change that I had my grievances and frustrations about.
So a little bit more about yourself. I was reading an article in the paper, active in the Blexit movement. Talk about that a second. Tell us what that is and what you did.
So the Blexit move is basically blacks exiting the Democrat Party. And it's started by Candace Owens and Brandon Tatum, which are good friends of mine and also allies. And I was invited to be a part of the first Blexit rally here in Los Angeles. And I was able to participate in that. I had a great experience with that. And it's basically just bringing awareness and just to let people know that they have an alternative. It's okay to be a free thinker. It's okay to have your own separate ideals from anyone else. And you can stand on those.
Okay. Let's talk about the race and what you're up against and what the issues are.
Yes.
The other individual that's cited in the newspaper says, hey, you know, I've done a lot already. I have stopped the 710 project, working on potentially redeveloping the Arroyo Seco. Done a bunch of other things, you know, there's more to be done.
So the beautiful thing about that is that we're at a crossroads right now where we actually have an opportunity to have new leadership to come in and bring new insight. So when you are professing all the things that you've done, kind of tells us that you're a career politician. If you've been doing these 20 and 30 years, there's still a lot of people that feel unaffected or don't feel the impact of your service. And like I said, from the outside, looking in, I feel like the services, not even the services, just some of the tangible skills that I have in entrepreneurship and business and being able to galvanize people and working collectively together. A lot of things that the current mayor is taking credit for, those were decisions that weren't made with the exclusivity of the actual people. So there's a difference.
So what do you think is, you know, needs work in Pasadena? What is the mayor have power over? One of the things that the one who's in there now credits getting some things on the ballot to raise some taxes and put a portion of that towards schools. The article says that really the mayor's purview is not over the schools, but that was kind of an interest of his. What are your interests? What do you see needs attention in Pasadena?
So the difference between my viewpoint and his is that I believe in residential prosperity. Like I say, my background is in entrepreneurship and building passive income for individuals, thousands of individuals. I'm basically taking my blueprint from what I've been doing for the last 15 years and added to a bigger platform, being the current mayor. So what I would be able to do, I'll be able to empower people financially, not through services, not through workshops, but through actual tangible partnerships where they can actually make more so they can actually afford to live in the city that they feel like they're being pushed out of.
Kind of walk us into this, because this is a little new concept to people. Explain what you're saying.
So as an example, one of the initiatives and ideals that I have is called the Pasadena Fund. The Pasadena Fund is basically a simplistic idea that's pulling from crowdfunding partnerships, where I use the example, if you have 3,000 people that want to participate in it. So residents that are having certain struggles and plights, we say, hey, if you commit $20 for 15 months to the Pasadena Fund, guess what? You have a pot of $900,000 to be able to leverage. Now you have two flexible meanings for that, two flexible functions. You guys can actually go into that pot and start gentrifying your own communities instead of an outside entity coming in and putting in a Starbucks or putting in a Chick-fil-A. Now the actual people who live in the community can gentrify their own communities. It's about coming together and understanding your economic power. And it's coming from leadership that's ushering you to do that. That's never been done before.
Major Williams is with us, a candidate for mayor in an election next March. So explain what happens now. Explain there are some communities in Pasadena that are changing and will change. The values of the property, the land, have just gone skyrocketed. So
right.
You've got issues there of being able to afford to even stay.
Right. Well, I mean, that's evolution. I'm not totally against evolution. That's why I focus on residential prosperity. If you focus on economics, it creates a domino effect and it helps everything else, whether it be homelessness, whether it be the schools, whether it be just the quality of life for our residents in the city. So instead of being the current mayor or being a mayor that's solely about outside entities and city development, I'm more so about the people and help enrich them and help empower them, because this is 2019. There's no way that even if you're working a 9-to-5 that you should be saying you're not making enough. So if you're not making enough, I'm not going to say, hey, go figure it out. I'm going to say, hey, let's partner together, and I'm going to help you and show you. And even if it's not me directly, I'm going to bring around the right resources and people who have a history in doing that.
So with these crowdsource type fundings, people within the community could develop new businesses in the changing neighborhoods and own them, as opposed to people coming in from the outside.
Absolutely. And I think it's an amazing concept, and it gives a different kind of refreshing point of view in regards to what you can do as a community.
What about our schools? People say, you know what, things are better, but they're not 100% yet.
Well, you know, you're right about that. You know, you have different perspectives on what is better. So everyone has their own version of success. Everyone has their own version of what's good and bad, and it depends on who you ask. I think our school board has done an amazing job, but there are some voids. There are some positions or opportunities where they can get better. Knowing that the position of the mayor doesn't run the school board, and the school board kind of handles and facilitates that, I could be an advocate to add my input and advice on what we could do, and I feel like I can be a true champion for them when it comes to that.
The opponent cited in a newspaper article says, quote, "During my term as mayor, I have achieved many of my goals that I set out in my 2015 campaign, but there's more to do. Announcing in his reelection bid, it continues to be a priority to work with PUSD. As a grandfather of a PUSD student and a father of a teacher, I am committed to improving our public schools." Mm-hmm. So it's not your purview, but he's obviously chosen to kind of go that route.
Right.
What can be done? What can you do as mayor to help our schools get even better?
Well, honestly, with me having a background in marketing, getting the right kind of message out there to actually galvanize the city and change the messaging of how our schools are perceived, right? So a lot of, you know, parents are choosing to go to charter schools and different private schools. If we can repackage and remarket our skills and our abilities in the education system, it's going to help us bring it back full circle, and we're going to be able to start being, number one in regards to our education, which is important to us. We are a very affluent town and very influential city. Our education with our youth should reflect that, and currently it doesn't.
So I take it you're a Republican.
Yes, I am.
Is that a challenge in today's political environment in California?
I don't believe so. I think it's an invisible barrier, and I don't hide behind it. I don't run from it. But I do understand the mayoral race is a nonpartisan, no partisan race. And so do I wave a flag of Republican? No. I go out and I just run off of my ideals and my love for the city and what I want to do for the city collectively with the city. That's what it should be about.
What do you have to do to win as mayor? I mean, it's got a geographic area. It's a pretty good-sized city. You got to get around. So is it making the rounds? Is it raising a ton of money in advertising? What do you have to do to win?
Well, it starts off with being serving up the right message, but also being the right messenger. Like I said, with my experience in marketing and advertising, you know, I have a different point of view. The current mayor is only in office with 8,000 votes. Only 15,000 people came out to that actual election. It tells us a lot. That means that, you know, a lot of people weren't galvanized or felt compelled to even go out and vote during that 2015 run. But you also look at the statistics and the data. 18 to 44 year olds didn't even feel compelled to come out and vote. Who do I resonate with? Who do I relate to? Who am I communicating with? Not only that group and audience, but to the other audiences as well. So it's a huge opportunity, and it is possible.
So what are those 18 to 44s? What are they into? What do they need to hear about?
I don't feel like they had anyone that spoke to the entrepreneurship space and also to the housing crisis that they feel like that they're going through. And they actually feel like they're being pushed out. And they actually feel like they don't have a person that they can actually communicate with that's not personable or approachable.
Let's talk the housing crisis. Mm-hmm. On high from up in the state, the legislature has tried but failed to push down regulations that would pretty much strip Pasadena and other cities of their ability to set out the future for housing. In other words, there are some who think it's time we put in big 40-story skyscrapers right next to houses.
Right.
But the local community, they don't want that.
Right.
So where do you stand on that kind of development?
I have a middle ground when it comes to that. You have to have balance. And one thing I tell communities and residents and small groups when I'm talking to them, I say, you know, it's not 1940 or 1950 anymore. There's always going to be evolution, and change isn't always a bad thing. But we do want to keep the culture of what Pasadena represents, and we want to fight for that. And I stand with the residents when they actually do not want tall skyscrapers next to their houses.
Right. The homeless crisis. It's
yes.
in L.A. It's in Pasadena. You got some laws that say you can't pick them up if you don't have roofs over their head. L.A.'s got 65,000. There aren't 65,000 beds tonight.
Right.
What do you do?
You have to be creative. You know, we lack a lot of imagination when it comes to housing or homelessness and dealing with that particular crisis. Me on the outside looking in, I see a lot of vacant buildings, even in our city. Instead of, you know, putting millions and millions of dollars, taxpayer monies, into these buildings that are going to take 2, 3, 4 years to actually build, we can actually do things simultaneously. We can actually go and spend $500,000 on a building that can house 70 of them, because our population is only 637. It's not 60,000. So it's much more manageable versus LA.
All right. Where can folks find you? How do they follow your campaign?
So you can follow me on my website, of course, www.majorformayor.com. Or if that's difficult for you, just go to majorwilliams.com. You can follow me on all social media at Major for Mayor. That's not the number four. It's Major with F-O-R, Major for Mayor, Twitter, Instagram. And on Facebook, which I'm really active on there as well, too, is Major Williams for Mayor of Pasadena.
Major Williams, thanks for stopping in a little early, but I guess it starts now, doesn't it?
It has to. And also, I want to say people can also text me. That's one of the different things. Where I get 100 text messages a day, 626-623-3753. So text me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
AM 870, The Answer.
Up next, The Barack Lurie Show, hosted by attorney Barack Lurie. The very popular Barack Lurie Show is filled with stimulating conversation and a fresh point of view on politics, religion, and the law. Next on AM 870, The Answer.
Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.